To the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, father of five, raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, again, I woke up this morning, and I have to tell you, my friends, I think I woke up in the wrong world. I found a bunch of stories on the internet that did not comport with reality, as in a Pennsylvania pet trainer apparently is being charged with animal cruelty for piercing cats. She's charged with animal cruelty and conspiracy against the cat world.
Was that because she's putting little holes in them, or is it because it was really tacky jewelry?
She was putting holes in their ears. She's gothic. She wanted gothic kittens.
No, it wasn't because it was the really cheap, tacky jewelry that was being put on there. Because that would be cruel.
Yeah, that would be cruel. Anyway, she's up for a year in prison for this. And, well, we'll see what happens in that story. But at the same time, I get the story via Al Mohler from Sarasota, Florida, where a doctor in that city lost his license because he aborted the wrong kid. Okay, he was a hired killer, went into a womb. The woman had twins, and he was supposed to abort the kid with Down syndrome, you know, the weakest one. He was trying to go after the one with some birth defects, you know, the one that was a little sick. He was trying to put a bullet through its head, because that's what you do with the weak in the eugenics world. And he aborted the wrong kid, had to go back and abort the kid again, and so it was a twofer deal. But the woman was upset, obviously. And he was sued and he lost his license over it. Dr. Matthew Kachinas was involuntarily hospitalized after the decision Saturday because he said he planned to commit suicide. Which I guess that makes sense. You kill a couple of kids, you kill yourself, you kill him, you kill them, you kill yourself. I mean, as long as you're murdering somebody, I guess you can go ahead and murder yourself, according to his worldview. Folks, I don't think we're getting any better in this country in the area of right to life. I don't. I mean, I know we have the partial birth abortion ban that said if you yank the kid out 6 inches, you can kill him, but 8 inches, you can't kill him. You know, I know we have, we did what we could as a pro-life majority or whatever we were in this country. But so far, so bad. America is not a pro-life country, and according to Al Mohler, 80-90% of babies with Down syndrome are now being aborted. 80-90% of babies with Down syndrome being aborted. That's called eugenics. It's called survival of the fittest. It goes back to Darwin, and David does not portend well for the elderly in another 20 years from now. I mean, you know, we've been saying this for 30, 40 years like a broken record, but again, folks, this is the worldview. This is the way the world is going to operate in your country.
And it's really the death of civilization. A civilization is judged by how well it takes care of its weakest members. A civilization isn't one that just builds big buildings. A civilization is one that takes care of the weak and the infirmed. If you want to see the rise of a civilization, one place to look is how well does it take care of the crippled, of the lame, of the unemployed. A society that has compassion is a society that will be blessed. And a society that doesn't have compassion will eventually become a police state.
Well, Dave, I think the Sarasota doctor is really a replication of whatever we're doing all over America today. We're committing suicide as a nation. We have no reason to live. Epistemologically, we've already committed suicide. We're committing suicide in our culture. We're committing suicide in our economies. We're committing suicide in the way we look at the future, in our birth implosions. 90 nations around the world birth imploding, friends. Less children today in the world than there was 10 years ago. Because the world is committing suicide right now. And it's happening because of the existentialistic, naturalistic, materialistic ways of thinking we have brought into our K-12 schools and universities. People are trained to think this way. And as a society, as a civilization, we're committing suicide in the West. Now, of course, the Muslims are going to salvage things in the years to come. I don't know about Christianity, but I know the Muslims are going to be around in the days to come. Now, I know that the Christian faith will survive, but it's going to be nip and tuck here, at least in the West, for a while. This morning's Wall Street Journal also had an article that's important, I think, because they are commemorating the 50th anniversary of the pill, supposed to be next month. And, of course, Doug Phillips is doing the same thing, except with a slightly different message. In July, and if you want to check out the baby conference coming up in San Antonio, Texas, in July, you need to visit visionforum.com right now. But this is a very, very important event. No question about it, folks. The reason we have 90 nations birth imploding, the reason we have the biggest shifts in demographics since probably the flood, maybe even before the flood, I don't know, but the most significant change in demographics has occurred since 1960 with the birth of the birth control pill. And here's an article in the Wall Street Journal that commemorates the birth of this pill. Look at it. It's got a full section here, birth control pill riddle. And their major point here is that that roughly 60% of people on birth control use the pill, and 80% say they want to avoid pregnancy. 80% of people out there who apparently are sexually active want to avoid pregnancy. That includes married people, and yet only 43% of them are on birth control. So the whole point of the article is Planned Parenthood still has a job to do. They've got to get out there and get more people using the birth control pill. According to my figures, if Planned Parenthood gets its goal, that is all 80% of the people who don't want kids because they know they're not supposed to have kids, because they've been told that by the existentialists they've been sitting under, and they've got this materialistic worldview that they've inculcated. And if all 80% were successful at not having kids, American birth rate would be right around 1.5. We would be imploding right now. It's just that Planned Parenthood hasn't accomplished its goal, and they've got some work cut out for them. And that's the whole point of the Wall Street Journal article.
You know, most people don't even know their worldview. Francis Schaeffer said you catch a worldview like most people catch the measles. You're not really sure where you got it. You just have it. And the worldview that most people find themselves in is a worldview in the great society that comes along and says that children are a financial burden. Children are a path to poverty. Children are what brings down a household economy and a family economy. We, instead of saying that my children will support me in old age and my children are a blessing to me and my children will help me work the fields, we've made children a burden. And in that worldview, people are saying, well, they don't help me any. I don't want the burden. I'd rather have freedom. I'd rather have liberty. I'd rather have my Social Security come from the government because, you know, my children, they're a pain.
Yeah.
And so most people find themselves waking up in this worldview. They don't know where they got it. They don't know where it came from. It just seems to be the reality that society and the system is built around them. And that's how they're going to live. And if they're going to live that way, yeah, they're not going to want children. And maybe they're going to want their one child, or maybe really two if it's radical. You see that you can't even buy cars hardly anymore that will hold a whole family.
According to this article, 50% of women have unplanned pregnancies, which means that 50% of mothers out there can tell their children they didn't want them, they weren't planning for them, they were an accident, they were a mistake, and that's a pretty high ratio, Dave, and I think when you send that message home to a nation's children, they get the message loud and clear, they were unwanted, and my guess is there are going to be a few elderly unwanted in the year 2025. That's just my guess. That's my guess. We got a nation full of unwanted children, friends. And I'm wondering if our president himself considers himself to be unwanted in that he was the second bastard elected to president of the United States after Bill Clinton. Again, the Bible refers to those without fathers as bastards. And here is a man abandoned by his own father, I think abandoned several times, raised by his mother and then his grandmother. Evidently, he's got this worldview himself. Because he said something like that concerning his own daughters. If his own daughters had a child out of wedlock, then what did he say about them?
He said he wouldn't want to punish them with a baby. Wouldn't want to punish them with a baby.
There we go. He wouldn't want to punish them with a baby. Because babies aren't blessings. Babies are a pain. And again, the President of the United States is sending that point home.
You know, I think you're right. When you look at our current president, you have a guy who was abandoned by his birth father, or the one he claims is his birth father, wasn't even there at the supposed hospital, wherever that was in Hawaii or Kenya or wherever. So he's abandoned the first time, and then there was this Barry Sotero fellow, or this Mr. Sotero fellow, who adopted him in Indonesia, and then, of course, that didn't work out. Now, his mother is having a problem of carrying around this baggage, and, of course, a single woman with a child is less desirable in the dating market. Let's just put it that way. In the dating market, men generally don't want to find a woman who has a child. That's too much baggage. So I think the message is, Barry or Barack or whatever his name was at the time, you're a pain. You're a lifestyle inhibitor to me. In fact, my life would be better if you weren't around.
And that message is sent home to millions and millions of kids around this country. 80% of Americans want to avoid pregnancy right now. Only 43% on birth control. 50% of women have unplanned pregnancies. And folks, the vast majority of women on birth control are taking the birth control pill. Something like 60% of women taking birth control are on the pill. And folks, most churches don't even talk about the abortifacient qualities of the pill. And of course, we've mentioned this many times on this program, but it is a known fact that a large percentage of little babies whose mothers are on that birth control pill do not make it up those fallopian tubes because of the effects, the abortifacient effects of the birth control pill. Please understand that. Please understand it. And yet, there are a lot of churches that don't teach this kind of thing, Dave. There's an interesting article from the Baptist Press that came out about a year or two ago. Mainline denominations have been losing members. Everybody knows that since 1900. Due to apostasy, yeah, people are denying the faith right and left. They have no faith to retain, really, in some of these denominations. And people are moving on to conservative evangelical churches out of the mainline denominations. And the mainline churches are largely empty. I mean, you see huge declines. What, 50, 60% decline in mainline denomination participation since 1900. But here, according to this article, the larger reason is not the apostasy. It's not the larger reason is not that they're leaving the evangelical churches. The main reason why these mainline denominations are losing members is that these mainline denominations use a lot more birth control and started using birth control earlier than a lot of the other denominations. The popular notion that conservative churches are growing because mainline churches are too liberal is being challenged by the new research that offers a simpler cause for much of the mainline decline, the use of birth control. For most of the 20th century, conservative women had more children than mainline women did, according to three sociologists, Michael Hout of University of California, Berkeley, Andrew Greeley of the University of Arizona, and Melissa Wild of Indiana University. It took most of the 20th century for conservative women to adopt family planning practices that have become dominant in American society, according to these writers, or to put the matter differently, the so-called decline of the mainline may ultimately be attributable to its earlier approval of contraception. The researchers studied shifts in church membership from 1900 to 1975 and the accompanying differences in fertility rates between women in conservative churches, Baptist, Assembly of God, Pentecostal-like, and mainline denominations like Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal, and Lutheran. The declining propensity of conservatives to convert to the mainline accounts for the 30% of mainline decline that fertility rates cannot account for. That is 70% of the decline in mainline denominations, friends, due to their use of birth control. Please understand that is why the faith is dying. Now, granted, okay, the apostasy, but the apostasy, of course, worked its way out into the way that people lived. They didn't have as many children. They birth imploded. And why did they birth implode? Because they're selfish. Because as a denomination, as the mainline denominations went, they took on the naturalistic, materialistic, existentialistic, me-centered, myopic way of looking at the future. This is what happened in the mainline denomination, and they're rotting out. Walk into their churches. There's a bunch of old fogies still hanging on. They're pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-whatever's not biblical approach to life. But they're not having kids. They're not having kids. And, Dave, the same thing's happening to evangelicals right now. I mean, okay, the evangelicals, it was delayed about 20, 30 years, but it's happening right now with evangelicals. According to the president of the Southern Baptist Organization, if the attrition due to declining birth rates continues in the Southern Baptist Church, the membership of the Southern Baptist Church will be cut in half in 40 years. Okay, that's the SBC convention president.
Kevin, it's not enough for a conservative church to be against abortion. Yes, they should be against the murder of children, and the conservative church has generally upheld that standard. But it's not enough. It's not enough to be against something. We're about building the kingdom of God, and we have to be for children. We have to be for a kingdom which reproduces itself. Children are a blessing from the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. You have women in the Bible who are distraught because God has not blessed their womb. You have Sarai and you have Hannah and others. This is God's plan. God has put us here in part to reproduce and build his kingdom. He wants more worshipers. And when we only are against the murder of children, but we're not for the birth of children, we're really not standing for anything. And no wonder people are leaving.
Well, and they're leaving for the Catholic Church, too. This is interesting. A Catholic was writing on the Baptist Press story here. And let me quote from this guy. This is very interesting. Now, I want you to listen. If you're Protestant, you're evangelical, then you need to listen to this. Here's a Catholic writing on the Baptist Press story concerning the fact that Protestants are dying out because they incorporated birth control into their way of life. No Christian church in 2,000 years had ever accepted birth control, according to this guy. It was, and he's talking about not in the natural family planning thing, but the kind of birth control that we're practicing today. It was the Anglicans, Episcopalians, who broke that long-standing Christian tradition at their Lambeth Council on August 14, 1930. So Episcopalians first to do it, and that makes sense. They went ahead and approved birth control, and then nobody had kids after that, and their whole denomination started rotting out. Soon after, other mainline Protestant denominations followed. Only the Roman Catholic Church resisted this 20th century influence, and today, only the Roman Catholic Church stands firm. Okay, this is a Catholic writing this. In North America, most Catholics just ignore the church's teaching on it anyway. That's why Western civilization, as we know it, is doomed. The countries where Protestants once dominated for hundreds of years, Germany, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, England, Canada, etc., will soon give way to Catholic majorities if they're lucky. Those that don't can eventually look forward to Muslim majorities, because artificial birth control would disintegrate the liberal Protestant denominations eventually, because conservative Protestant churches will soon follow their lead. They don't retract their permissive teaching on artificial birth control, because when it's all said and done, the only Christians left will be practicing Catholics who reproduce, along with a small ultra-conservative minority of Protestants, because these Christians will be accompanied by a growing Muslim population that also rejects artificial birth control. By the time we reach the 100th anniversary of the 1930 Lambeth decision, we may even see this demographic reality start to materialize in noticeable ways. Now, for some reason, as he says, and he's honest here, this is a Catholic writing, as he says, for some reason, the Catholics do not follow through on the dictates that the church gives to them. The Catholics have a really hard time getting their people to love God enough to keep his commandments, or even to keep the Pope's commandments, for that matter. I think David has something to do with a cheapened salvation. I mean, you know, you get a few merit or going, and then you kind of make it into the church, and you're okay, and everything's a-okay, and so forth, and the religion itself is pretty much cheapened, and the faith has been weakened, not to mention works. But anyway, folks, I think you walk into the average evangelical church. I mean, even a Reformed church, Dave, I've seen Reformed churches where you're not seeing 3.4 children per family. I mean, you're not seeing it. You don't see very many 7-passenger vans. You don't see many 15-passenger vans in the parking lot. I mean, you're barely seeing 2.1. You know, you might be seeing about 30 to 40 gray heads, 20 to 30 of the younger folks, and then about 3 to 4, 6, 8 kids in the Sunday schools. But there's a lot of evangelicals out there that are using the pill. We're not hearing a lot of preaching against the pill. I rarely hear Protestant preachers stand up and say, don't you dare use an abortifacient pill that aborts that child in the fallopian tubes. Don't you dare do that. I just don't hear it. I don't hear it. Now, I found one article in Christianity Today mentioning the abortifacient qualities of the pill on November 8th, 2005. The article was really moving the audience towards Catholicism, really, because it was the Catholics that was teaching in the article in Christianity Today. But for the most part, folks, it's not the Protestants taking the lead in this area. It seems to be the Catholics are taking the lead, at least in terms of the Catholic leadership. Well, in just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about why have children. Why are people not having children? We're going to address the real core issues next on Generations. Stay with me.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson back with you. And today, talking about the effects of the birth control pill, which I argue have presented the largest worldwide demographic shift since the worldwide flood 4,000 years ago. Why? Because the pill has been exported just about every other nation around the world. 98 nations now birth imploding. And this existentialistic worldview of John Paul Sartre and others has affected the way that people live today more than any other time in history. Well, here we have reasons for having children, reasons for not having children. Newsweek came out with an article a year or two ago referring to Daniel Gilbert's 2006 book, Stumbling on Happiness, where a Harvard professor of psychology looks at several studies, concludes that marital satisfaction decreases dramatically after the birth of the first child and increases only when the last child has left home. Other data cited by 2008's Gross National Happiness author Arthur C. Brooks finds that parents are about 7 percentage points less likely to report being happy than the childless. The most recent comprehensive study on the emotional state of those with kids show us that the term bundle of joy may not be the most accurate way to describe our offspring. Parents experience lower levels of emotional well-being, less frequent positive emotions, more frequent negative emotions than their childless peers, says Florida State University's Robin Simon, a sociology professor who conducts several recent parenting studies. In fact, no group of parents, married, single, step, or even empty nest, reported significantly greater emotional well-being than people who never had children. Dave, they acknowledge today the U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that it costs anywhere between $134,000 to $237,000 to raise a child from birth to the age of 17. In pre-industrial America, parents certainly loved their children, but their offspring also served a purpose to work the farm, contribute to the household. Children were a necessity. Today, we have kids more for emotional reasons, but an increasingly complicated work and social environment has made finding satisfaction far more difficult. And it is true that the socioeconomic system has changed dramatically with the dissolution of the modern family, the dissolution of the family economy, the dissolution of the family unity in the family economy. And we've said that 100 times, and we said it once on this program. That's right. Children are just kind of a pain. And that's what they're saying here, Dave, in this story. Now, of course, I think we've got to define happiness. And, Dave, you know, the way they define happiness is this person serving me? Is this person serving my happiness? Is this person giving me pleasure, or are they not giving me pleasure? And that, of course, is what the existentialist says, John Paul Sartre. Hell is other people. That's the classic Sartre line. Hell is other people, and they better be giving me pleasure, or they're worthless. And the only kind of pleasure, the only kind of happiness they're talking about here, Dave, is the animalistic kind of happiness that happens when I scratch my dog on his tummy. I mean, he just rolls over and closes his eyes. He just...
Your dog's a sheep.
Oh, thank you. She rolls over on her back and closes her eyes, and she just takes that pleasure in. And, you know, it's just the animalistic stimulation of nerve endings that these guys are talking about. That's the only kind of pleasure that matters. It's the kind of pleasure they get in their sexual activities. It's the pleasure they get in their nerve endings being handled the right way as they eat their food, as they drink their wine. That's it. That's it. It's a watered-down definition of happiness, and it effectively makes a human being no more important than a dog. I mean, that's it. If the dog's happy, if the human's happy, then the human's like the dog, and they're happy like the dog, and that's about it. We actually find that there is great, great joy, deep rejoicing, deep sense of blessedness that comes with relationships, with human relationships, with the cultivation of human relationships. But that's something, of course, that this eros-filled age wouldn't understand. These sociological professors have no concept what phileo love or agape love is. They're just so stuffed with eros love, and they want to use everybody else up instead of enjoying the phileo love or the agape love, in which you don't cause other people to suffer for your own happiness. You suffer for their happiness, and that's the difference there.
You know, Kevin, you can live the life that the socialists, the sociologists, they're kind of the same thing. Yes. The sociologists would prescribe for you. And you can get all your little happiness, and you can get all the little dendrites making little happy sounds across your synapses. And in the end, you will be in the hospital alone, and you will die alone. And your gravestone, well, you won't get a gravestone because no one will buy it for you. And you will have no legacy, and history will forget you. And you will be a lonely, pathetic, forgotten person in the story of life. Or, you could have people being your advocates for you in the hospital, creating happy memories, You would leave a legacy of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, maybe thousands and tens of thousands, that would build the kingdom of God. And on your gravestone, it would say, he was a husband and a father. And I think you can say, you can look at both of those worldviews and look at the end of life and say, which is better? Dying lonely and pathetic, or dying with a legacy that will speak to generations?
We did a show a couple of years ago called The Happiest Family in America, where we interviewed a family that had adopted 20 special needs kids. It was the most amazing, touching program I think I've ever done. And I have met this family, Dave, and they are an incredible family. They're very, very happy together. And granted, they've gone through suffering. They've had to give up so much for each other over the years, but they have the best relationships. And Dave, I think one of the challenges that people run into is that a lot of these ladies are having their children. They go through all the pain and discomfort of having those children, and they raise them up till they're 2, 3, 4 years of age, and then they throw them off onto the state. The state takes them out of their hands, and there are no real long-term relationships cultivated in those families, and so they really never do experience the joy of relationships. They never understand the wonderful blessing of children that does eventually develop over the years if they take the time to work through those years of suffering and challenge and difficulty and training and so forth, and establish the kind of relationships that really produce much fruit in our own lives.
Kevin, I think it's because even in the Christian community, we simply do not grasp by faith this idea of treasures in heaven. We don't believe that our children are that important to God, that they're his treasures that we're to see into heaven, and then all these other things would be added unto us. We don't believe that. We're a faithless people.
Worldviews in conflict today, my friends. Worldviews in conflict, big time, because we're talking about the difference between the existentialistic worldview, the birth control, abort those kids, and use the abortifacient pill if necessary to eliminate as many children in our lives as possible, and denying the blessing that God has presented. And the other worldview, which presents God's blessing of children as a blessing because God defines our ethics, and also presenting a different way of life. Life, the way of phileo, the way of agape, versus the way of eros, and that's the way the world runs, and that's what we've read in these Newsweek articles and so forth. And that's, of course, why you have doctors in Sarasota, Florida, that are killing twins, and occasionally they kill the wrong twin, because one of those twins would have been maybe a little easier, maybe a little less work than the other twin, and eugenics, of course, is the name of the game today. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time where we ought to be grounded in the right perspective of life, the right perspective of family and ethics and these sorts of things. And that's why I would recommend the Baby Conference coming up in July in San Antonio, Texas. For more information on that Baby Conference put on by Vision Forum, go to visionforum.com now. That's visionforum.com. I'll be speaking at that conference as well. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at mrkevinswanson.com. You also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. You can also visit the home schoolchannel.tv to see this program broadcast in video. Folks, this is Kevin Swanson, and I would like to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for babies and for the next generation.